always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
People are strange when you're a stranger.
That ain't no woman. It's a man.
Well, I'm not dumb, but I can't understand why she walk like a woman and talk like a man.
A lot of people say, what's that? It's Pat.
But when she got undressed, it was a big old mess. Sheena was a man.
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies!
Don't you oppress me.
Why do you say you feel trapped in a man's body?
Well, sometimes I get the menstrual cramps real hard.
MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+.
Ha! That's it! Hold it right there! Pronoun trouble.
In that same vein, in that story with ESPN, you talked about wanting to protect young girls who shouldn't have to go against biological men. Just can you expand your viewpoint on that?
I mean, I think I said what I said. I think it's kind of common sense. And I think I'll always believe in that. I think it's really important to protect children, and that's little girls who are also involved in that category. And so I stand on what I said, and I always believe that.
So Sophie Cunningham, who is one of the more recently famous players in the women's NBA, the WNBA, she's the one with the finger point. Okay, she's a teammate of Caitlin Clark, and when Caitlin Clark got that flagrant foul against her, and you know, she got called for a foul, and then Angel—I can't remember all these people's names, but because I don't watch the sport particularly, but you know, and then Sophie was pointing at the other lady, saying she deserved it every bit as much, and then that became famous for the Sophie Cunningham point. And you've seen that used in all kinds of things ever since. So that's her, and she was a ring girl for the MMA fight, like over the weekend, last weekend or the weekend before, I forget what. And it is just a little bit relevant to know. This both she and Caitlin are straight, okay, and in the WNBA that's not always the case, let me just say lightly, as you well know. But she had said that she thinks that, you know, men shouldn't be participating in women's sports, that women should be protected from men competing against them, which is of course obvious, except that it's become controversial in this day and age. And she was asked about that, and she said her answer was, well, you know, look, I said what I said, right? I said what I said, I meant what I said, and I believe it.
Do you see your advocacy on that, like, taking any form going forward?
You know, I don't know. I'm not a very political person, but I do have beliefs. I have morals, and I'll always stand on those and be true to who I am. And I think people are going to take it how they want to take it, but I've never even really said anything about that. And so when it comes just to protecting young girls in sport and women in sport, I feel very strongly about that. I think that's why you have Title IX. That's why you have some of the greats in women's sports. If Title IX and women's sports weren't protected, then you wouldn't hear about any type of women in sport. And so I think in the future, it's just really important to protect.
There had been women's sports and women's superstars to a degree before Title IX, but Title IX has meant a dramatic increase in the attention to women's sports and the funding for women's sports and the participation in women's sports. I wouldn't say that statement is 100% correct, but that statement is, you know, big majority correct, right? So one thing, final question, she got asked by a guy in the press conference the other day. I think this was actually yesterday.
Some people might say, hey, for the trans community, this could be something that could come back on us or be targeted against us. Like, how do you, I guess, view that sort of critique?
You know, like I said, I extend love, and I don't dislike anyone. Like, I think there is room for absolutely everyone here, and I think there's room to love everyone. And I truly think when you get people in the same room and you have conversations, you actually have a lot in common with a lot of people. And so I'm there to love, but I'm also there to love biological women, and I think that there are rights that need to be protected. And like I said, I'm going to stand true to that. I'll never falter in my beliefs in that, but I have never once said I hated the trans community. Like I said, I think there's space for everyone.
Of course, in this day and age, if you do not support somebody's political agenda fully, then you get accused of hating them. Even if you disagree with choices they make or behavior they engage in, you get accused of hating them, which, in my opinion, you can disagree with a lot of things. It doesn't mean you hate somebody. But it's kind of, we've entered this sort of binary, oddly, way of thinking about all of these issues, where if you're not completely with me, then, you know, you're some kind of evil, hating, bigoted, terrorist, anti-person, and you want to deprive my rights. No, I'm just not fully on board with this aspect of your life, but I love you as a person. I even could tolerate the things that I disagree about your life. I just don't endorse them. That's also a distinction that we seem to have lost. So good for Sophie Cunningham. Good for her answering the question clearly, standing by her beliefs. But it does raise a very interesting question. The WNBA, which, of course, is kind of in an interesting place right now. Not as a non-fan, as a non-watcher, I'm coming at this from an outsider. But, you know, they have somebody in Caitlin Clark who is a superstar, who is fantastic and amazing and gets lots of attention. Not everybody in the league is happy about that. There's a really strong undercurrent, maybe overcurrent, maybe flooding a little bit, of and why she's getting treated so badly and fouled so hardly and all this kind of stuff is because there are people in the league that are upset that she's getting this kind of attention. And I read a very interesting piece the other day by, what's the guy's name? Bobby Barak. He was writing at Outkick. And it says, this isn't quite what it looks like. She's white. It's not quite that. But you're not on the wrong track in thinking this way. I'll get to that in just a second. Let's see. We've got traffic on the fives with Candy.
And we're not showing any slowdowns or delays from the curve. I'm Scenic into Cervantes. Not showing any issues. It doesn't look like we have any problems on 90 or 98. 90 clear from Milton into Pace and Lillian Jackson, Navy, New Warrington. All accident free. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the kind of analysis of where the WNBA is right now, particularly with regards to Caitlin Clark, but it may also be with regards to Sophie Cunningham. He says, why do so many WNBA players, this is a guy named Bobby Barak, B-U-R-A-C-K at Outkick. I've never heard of him before, but give credit where it's due. Anybody who comes up with an interesting idea, I always want to give him credit. But why do so many WNBA players, particularly black players, display such obvious and at times physical hostility towards Caitlin Clark? Is it simply because she's a straight white woman in a league that's roughly 70% black or LGBTQ+? In part, yes, he writes, but her identity alone isn't the issue. There's more to it than that. That's been kind of the take, generally, is all of these gay and black, more so probably black players is the superficial analysis, but also many of them are gay and or lesbian, obviously. But then, you know, they don't like her because she's neither of those, and she's getting all this attention, right? And but I think he's onto something very interesting, that it's not just that. He says, the problem for many around the league is that Clark refuses to play the role expected of her. She's a straight white woman who has declined to turn herself into a vehicle for the racial and sexual activism that increasingly defines the league's public image. That's an important distinction. The identity left, if you will, doesn't reject all white people. Many would gladly vote for California Governor Gavin Newsom for president. They adored Sarah Spain throughout her years covering the NBA. What they reject is the wrong kind of white person. Most, and this is, again, I'm quoting from an article that was I thought was interesting. Most white players in the WNBA have understood this assignment. Cameron Brink is white, blonde, engaged to a man, and looks like a supermodel. She was drafted one pick after Clark in 2024. The WNBA establishment practically reveres her. Of course it does. From the beginning of her career, Brink has followed the script. Before playing a single WNBA game, she volunteered an acknowledgement of her privilege. Quote, I could go way deeper into this, but I would say just growing the fit to the, I would say, I would just say growing the fan base to support all types of players, I will acknowledge there's a privilege for the younger white players of the league. Brink said, that's not always true, but there is a privilege that we have inherently in the privilege of appearing feminine. So she's accepted the leftist narrative about identity and privilege. And as a side note to all of this, I actually think I may be the only conservative who says it out loud, but I think privilege is a real thing. I think that we deny reality if we act like certain kinds of either demographic facts or, you know, socioeconomic facts or viewpoints don't carry with them certain kinds of privilege. I would also say that is not always in favor of what you think it would be. If you are in the university environment where leftism dominates, being a conservative or a Christian, and sometimes even being a white male, may work against you. privilege works in all different kinds of ways, in all different kinds of environments. But generally speaking, in our America in the year 2026, being a straight, white, Christian male gives you all of the best versions of everything, especially if you're tall and handsome, okay? That's sort of all the best versions. And if you're any deviation from that, it can carry, you know, disadvantages. That's just true. And people, you know, my side likes to sometimes say that stuff isn't real. I mean, come on. Just always admit the obvious. You know, be honest with people. And certainly, being white, being a man, you know, being handsome, ask me how I know. That's a joke. Carries certain kind of privileges. Anyway, so his analysis is that, you know, this one player who comes in at the same time Caitlin Clark does, Cameron Brink, who is white and blonde and straight and beautiful, but has accepted her role in the league as being an advocate for, you know, progressivism or liberalism or wokeism or whatever you want to call it, where the league is. They love her. Caitlin Clark, who's kind of been silent on this stuff and is just out there playing the game, meanwhile being straight and white and whatever, is, you know, and a superstar, they do not like that. And I thought that was a very interesting nuanced take. I don't know if it's right. This might be sort of convenient analysis that reinforces what I want to think about the WNBA, and I want to beware that, you know, implicit bias by me. So if you're a big WNBA fan and you have a thought about this, I'd love to hear it. But in any way, I thought it was a savvy analysis. It might not just be, you know, being white and straight. It might not just be, you know, the newcomer, but it might be because she's those things and has not accepted the ideology that is expected of somebody who's going to represent the league. You know, she's not brand rainbow for us enough, just like Sophie Cunningham is not brand rainbow enough for us. And that's the reason that they're opposing her. 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you want to weigh in on anything we talk about on the show, 437-1620. Agree, disagree, love it, hate it. I don't care how I was, you know, in fact, I don't mind disagreement. I think you learn the most from disagreement. That's why Candy and I are such good friends. That's not why. It's the movies, yeah. It's the movies and the music, and that we have the exact same sense of, you know, mean, dark, sarcastic humor. Yeah, that's it. Hey, if you're thinking about buying... Oh, okay. Fair enough. She said that we're both in love with my wife, which is, yeah, I suppose that's true. Anyway, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty sold 206 homes last year. That's a lot. That's 4 a week. That's a fantastic level of productivity in real estate. And that means that, you know, you get all the way to closing. And typically it happens quickly. And typically it's for a very good price, low if you're buying, high if you're selling, right? They do this well, and they do it over and over again. They've got a system that they know works, and obviously the numbers justify that. And then in the last 12 months, it's actually 266, so 5 a week. So they are accelerating. It was kind of not, I won't say rough, but it was more challenging for a couple of years in the real estate industry, and they have been doing even better under those environments now in the last couple of years. They were still doing very well before that, 3 a week on average. But why? I don't know. Talk to her. Find out. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC, every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Summer is here, and Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m. Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Forget it, I quit. I can't do this anymore, man. My head's about to explode. My whole life sucks.
Good morning, 624, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning. Iran says it will keep attacking targets in the Middle East as long as it remains under attack. An army spokesperson made the televised comments as the Iranian-backed Houthis in Yemen have started attacking Saudi Arabian shipping in the Red Sea now. President Trump has vowed to attack civilian infrastructure in Iran when every time a ship in the Strait of Hormuz is attacked. The Food and Drug Administration still trying to find the source of the gastrointestinal illness that sickened thousands of people. Apparently, it wasn't the lettuce. More than 70 new cases of cyclosporiasis were reported this week, and of course, that's caused by parasites. SpaceX planning a test launch of its Starship rocket from its Starbase, Texas facility later today, Andrew.
Thank you for that.
And the mission, of course, was previously planned for last week, but canceled at the last minute due to an engine issue.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Candy has traffic on the fives.
All right. Sorry, I was looking up the lettuce statistics see if it was down here yet. Sorry.
Has it gotten
lettuce
here yet?
Statistics. Darren thinks he
migratory
has it. It's like there's no cases in Florida, let alone the Southeast. Yeah. No, that's right. Be fine. Plus, you don't eat lettuce. I make all your food, I promise. As we take a look at our roads, good news is we're not showing those slowdowns or delays, not like yesterday. My goodness, it looks like all lights are functioning now. 98 clear from, Midway into Tiger Point into Gulf Breeze into Pensacola into Lillian. Not showing any problems. 437-1620 if you see that accident or slowdown. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, yeah. Candy. Oh, I saw this really interesting kind of horrifying, terrifying a thing that I saw in the news yesterday. It was a Wall Street Journal article saying that one third of parents with estranged children blame therapy, that therapists are convincing children to cut off ties with their parents, which there are times, okay? Some parents are genuinely horrid, awful, evil, wicked people, and to protect yourself from them or their influence or your kids, there are times, okay? I don't like that. We don't talk about it a whole lot, but, my wife's dad was a really bad guy. He's not alive anymore, and, I cried no tears over that loss. But the details don't matter, but just trust me, okay? This is not – we didn't invite him to our wedding. We never saw kids, anything like that. So, for reasons. But 7,000 estranged parents conducted a survey in April found that one in three believed that their child, so this is parents whose children have cut off ties with them, are convinced that their child's therapist recommended cutting off ties. That the therapist looked at their level of trauma and hurt and pain and whatever and said, yeah, you should not deal with your parents anymore. And again, I come from a place where I recognize that will be true in some cases. There are some, but very extreme cases. Well, a therapist, William Dougherty, who teaches family, he's a professor emeritus of family social science at University of Minnesota. He says we're in a culture where we emphasize fragility, being vulnerable and fragile. Everything becomes trauma, and the solution increasingly is split and leave. Give up, quit, stop. But it should be the tragic exception that you cut off a parent or loved one, not business as usual in therapy, not a go-to solution. More than 25% of young adults in the U.S. are estranged from one or both parents. Isn't that amazing? One quarter? Man, or have been, according to a recent survey. He says, a lot of therapists are taught to believe whatever the client is saying at face value. This is Peter Anderson, a licensed marriage and family therapist who helped with the therapy. And so they're forming their conclusions based on just one person's account or one side of the story, which you can't possibly know what the right analysis is until you kind of talk to both sides. Again, it might turn out they're really awful and wicked people, but that's certainly not, you know, one third of all parents or one quarter of all kids. Anyway, so I was thinking about this some more, and I was thinking, you know, obviously if you take the Bible seriously, the Bible says you should honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you all the days of your life. It's a commandment. It does not mean you have to hang out with them. It does not mean you have to like them. It just means you have to treat them with respect due to the position and the fact that they brought you into this world. And they could take you out, joke. But, you know, what parents always say. But that you owe them your life, literally, your life. And you have to honor that. And if you honor that, which, by the way, you would not have to make that a command if it were natural to always do. Commands are there to get you to do things you should do, even when they're not things you want to do, right? So the commandment says honor your parents. Honor your parents. You'll be surprised how much honoring your parents does for you, for them, for God. It does not mean you have to say yes to them all the time. It does not mean, you know, you can't have your feels about them. It just means you have to honor them. That's a very particular thing. But I was thinking then about how, like, Republican, Democrat, you know, like, self-blame is kind of a core Republican thing. Take personal responsibility for your problems instead of blaming somebody else. Other blame is actually kind of a core liberal value, is when somebody does something wrong, who do you blame? Systemic and, you know, village problems. Like, it's villager responsibility. You know, it takes a village to raise a kid. And if there's problems in your life, it might be because of bad villagers. Oh, come on. That's a great joke.
The Trump administration signs a deal with Saudi Arabia to develop nuclear power using American companies' reactors and fuel, Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
Any agreement that we would make on civil nuclear energy with Saudi Arabia or any other country is going to have safeguards in place to ensure that those cannot ever be turned into a weapons program.
The deal needs congressional approval. It's been 12 straight nights of airstrikes in Iran.
This follows a new warning from President Trump on Wednesday when he posted to True Social saying, from this point forward, anytime the Islamic Republic of Iran shoots at a ship in the Strait of Hormuz, whether it be by missile, rocket, drone, or any other device or weapon, the United States will bomb and destroy one bridge or power plant. While no vessels were attacked in the Strait overnight, a Saudi-owned oil tanker was targeted in the Red Sea by Houthi forces in Yemen.
Fox's Trey Yingst. Oil prices are up about 4% today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 79 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies, and we'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, Navarre Beach residents will see their first fire assessment increase in 10 years. Department leaders attribute part of the problem to lack of growth.
Navarre Beach has not had any growth. There's been no cranes on our beach building anything extravagant in a long time. So we've had no growth, no additional. We had 8 houses built last year. And that only brings in $3,500. And we have 17% increase in health insurance, general liability insurance, payroll. Those are all major expenses.
Fire Chief John Kanzig tells Channel 3 the district is facing a serious deficit with reserves nearly gone after years of overspending. The fire board has approved a $27 fee increase. Now, 5 people have now been arrested in connection with that burglary at Crabs on Pensacola Beach. Sheriff Chip Simmons says the arrests happened across Mississippi and Alabama, with 2 suspects in Harrison County, 2 in Baldwin County, 1 in Mobile County. Deputies recovered large amounts of cash, tools, masks, and gloves that they say were used in the break-in. Investigators say the burglars drilled into a safe and stole deposit money. Well, Hurlburt Field now has some new leadership for one of its key units. Colonel William Gary took command of the 505th Test and Training Group earlier this month, replacing Colonel James Fields. The group trains leaders that oversee command and control of air, space, and cyber operations. Fields praised the unit's work in his farewell address, moved on to lead the 505th Command and Control Wing, which is also based at Hurlburt. Now, Florida's CFO says local governments that are warning of service cuts are using scare tactics as they campaign against the proposed property tax relief amendment. Blazing Golia says the real problem isn't tax relief, it's spending.
This is all scare tactics because they want to continue keeping their large bloated budget.
And Golia says counties and municipalities have seen their budgets grow substantially in recent years, and he says they should look for ways of reducing spending before asking taxpayers to pay more. The proposed constitutional amendment would expand Florida's homestead exemption if it's approved in November. L.A. 30-year-old service members facing charges after a series of crashes that left a 16-year-old Pensacola girl seriously injured on Tuesday. Troopers say Zachary Frazier rear-ended a car on Perdido Key Drive, then fled and drove the wrong way onto the Perdido Key Bridge, where he hit the teen's car head-on. Both were taken to the hospital with serious injuries. A breath test hours later showed Frazier's blood alcohol level was at 0.163, more than double the legal limit. Well, there could be a new attraction coming to Islands of Adventure at Universal Orlando. The Universal Orlando Resort filed a permit this week for a new attraction. Officials have not confirmed anything, but that's not stopping theme park fans from speculating. AttractionMagazine.com's Danny Meyering says it could have something to do with Pokemon. EYNTK.info's Theron White believes it may be a Legends of Zelda attraction. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Goodness says we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. Yesterday was, my gosh, it's tough to do traffic when there's actually accidents on the road, which there's not now. It looks like everything's fine. I-10, I-110 reporting as clear, 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, Candy with traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a small 10% chance of rain today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, 20% chance of rain, high near 91. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Heading into your Saturday, 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 94. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 78. This is Brooke Richardson for the First Warning Weather Center.
And it is 78 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. European regulators have fined Google $1 billion, alleging the company gives preferential treatment to its own services. The fine is Google's first under the European Union's Digital Markets Act. Eli Lilly said it will file for approval for its next-generation obesity drug, Retatrutide, in the first quarter of 2027 as it succeeds in two more late-stage trials. The pharmaceutical giant previously said it would submit an application as early as this year for the weekly injection, which appears to be more effective than existing shots and pills. Treasury yields advanced this morning following oil prices higher as traders await jobless claims data due later in the session. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note was up by more than one basis point at 4.675%. Futures have fallen as Alphabet and Tesla drop after earnings. Dow futures down by more than 100 points. Yesterday, the Dow lost 6, the NASDAQ down 146. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Drip Drop is a doctor-developed, proven fast hydration that helps your body and mind work better. Trusted by firefighters, medical professionals, and over 90% of top college and pro sports teams, Drip Drop is engineered to hydrate faster and more effectively than water alone, with three times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks. Stock up now at DripDrop.com and use promo code Radio20 for 20% off your first order. That's DripDrop.com, promo code Radio20 for 20% off your first order. Head to DripDrop.com now and use promo code Radio20.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
The board recommends approving.
Regarding that seat on the committee, we're promoting.
To boost quarterly earnings.
Every day, shareholders meet to discuss important matters about the companies you invest in. Now you can easily make your voice heard. Vanguard Investor Choice gives you a say in the companies you invest in. With just a few taps, you can set your proxy voting preference for your index funds. Visit Vanguard.com/investor choice to learn more. Vanguard investors own shares of our index funds, which own shares of the companies they invest in. Available for Vanguard index funds that participate in Investor Choice. Vanguard Marketing Corporation distributor.
Ever notice how the best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pet Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pet Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real life questions. Pet Talk with Meg.
Weekdays 9 to 11
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative,
informative,
local,
local,
dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It is a Thursday. It is the Escambia County Commission budget meeting and also the regular commission meeting. And so we're talking to Wes Moreno. He is the Escambia County Administrator, who always so graciously joins us on Thursday mornings before the meetings. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It is great to be here this morning.
Great to have you. Let's start with just a brief recap-ish of sorts. Blue Angels weekend went from the county's perspective. I know it's really an SRIA event, but from the county's perspective, you saw a lot of the, you know, support staff and EMS and fire and all that. How'd it go?
Very well. It went very well. EMS did a fantastic job setting up the medical tent, staffed the medical tent. Fire was always on hand to lend a hand. Water safety was a big thing with the lifeguards, keeping folks out of the water during the show. Just every public works. I can't say enough about public works. They just really knocked it out of the park before, during, and after the show. And, everybody just did a fantastic job. Robbie Schrockett, Island Authority, and Mike Burns with Island Authority. Great job putting it together. And I think it was a good event, a good weekend for us.
You know, one of the it was a small thing. I saw some of your public works guys out there on Saturday when we were there, and I made sure to tell them, hey, thanks. You know, because, you know, nobody notices the public works guys, right? Like, nobody thinks about them, but
Yeah, right. All
of the cleanup of all the trash, all the maintaining of the facilities, changing out the garbages, all the stuff that you take for granted until it's not done properly, and then it's a catastrophe. So they did great. Bertha, effects on the county. Have we had any serious effects anywhere that you want to talk about?
Not really. We've been, you know, a tropical event, I'll take one like this any day of the week.
Yeah.
As opposed to the other, some more extreme. But I would say we've had some sand blowing around on the beach. That's been a little bit of a thing. But as the winds die down, you know, we'll get that under control and get the sand off out of the parking lots and such. But not really, no. We really haven't had any major impact.
I know Fort Pickens closed. That's obviously the seashore and not you guys in authority. But did Fort Pickens Road or 399 through the seashore or any of that overwash or flood as far as you know?
I don't believe 399 did. I'm not sure about Fort Pickens Road.
Okay. Just curious. And, you know, I haven't seen anything, so we'll find out, obviously, soon enough. Let's talk about the budget a little bit. And a small thing, but it caught my attention in Santa Rosa County, and so I'm wondering if the same thing is true in Escambia County. There was a change in federal law that made it so that you cannot make a profit or generate revenue off of inmate phone calls at the jail. And in Santa Rosa, the sheriff's department is saying this is costing them about $450,000 this year. In Escambia, I assume the same is true. I assume the number is a little bit bigger because there's more people in our jail, but you tell me.
That is correct. They made that change. So we've had to move that cost to the general fund. It was a little over $1 million, $1 million hit to the general fund.
Ugh. I mean, you know, I know some people are going to say, well, how dare you make profit off the inmates? Well, how dare we make profit off of the people that we have to pay to incarcerate? Like, it makes sense to me, but the feds made their decision. So,
And we were using that money actually to help take care of the inmates is where that money was going. We weren't just putting it in the bank. We were actually utilizing that money for inmate programs and such. But, it cost us about $1 million hit to the general fund. You know, and these are things, when you go through the budget, there's like, $20-something million that we have no control over, zero control. It's state mandates, tax collector formula. They, you know, when the school board raised their millage rate and additional taxes had to be collected, we're paying a commission to the tax collector to do that. We are, not the school board. And we do that for the city. We do that for Children's Trust. We do that for Downtown Improvement Board. We're having to foot that bill. The way the way it's written, the law is written, and the way the formula is written, it's $1 million hit.
Yeah, it's a we talked about this in Santa Rosa when they discussed this in their budget conference, and I'm glad you brought it up because it's such a weird one with this referendum on the ballot that in Escambia County, we pay school taxes and we pay county taxes. And in order to collect the county taxes, we pay a tax collector. And in order to collect the school taxes, we pay a tax collector. And the money for the tax collector comes out of the money from the county taxes. And so if the referendum passes, we will literally be paying the school board for their money, and then we will be paying the Escambia County tax collector to collect the money for the school board. It's a crazy thing, and it's not a small amount of money. It has to come from somewhere. The city of Pensacola is going to do a minor cost of living adjustment, 2%, 1.5%, 1%, depending on your pay rate, freezing the millage at, you know, or make. The maximum millage is going to be at the same rate that it has been. And obviously everybody's working on budgets and scared about the future. What's the county doing? You're pitching it this morning, right?
Yeah. So we have a 2% pay adjustment built in to our budget, and the millage rate, we're proposing no increase or no adjustment to the millage rate. We'll see what questions the board has. I've met with a few, we'll just see. We'll see what thoughts and ideas come up this morning. But we're looking for good direction from the board, questions from the board. It's always good to ask questions to get answers. And so that's what we'll be looking for this morning. But, yeah, we have a 2% built in.
Any kind of a hiring freeze or personnel action other than the COLA?
So we have, I would say, unofficially, we're freezing some things. A few critical positions, corrections. I'm not freezing hiring corrections officers. We really need. We got about 70 vacancies at corrections, so I'm not freezing those. Position by position, we have about 250 to 300 vacancies right now.
Wow.
And we'll carry some of those vacancies. We were at 400. We whittled that down a little bit. And we still struggle. Corrections officers, I would say, is our biggest challenge.
And that has been for a long time.
Yeah, it has been. We have 70 vacancies in corrections right now.
And by the way, that's just for people to get perspective. The total employees in the county is like 1,700 or 1,800. Am I in the right ballpark?
Yeah, we have about 1,900 budgeted positions.
Okay. Oh, and with a couple hundred vacant, the actual bodies is more like 16 or 17.
Right.
Okay. We're talking to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. Wes, hang out for just a second for me, please. Candy has traffic on the fives.
And a little slow as you're making your way into Pensacola NAS this morning. It is backed up over the bridge, though not quite to the Shell station. Use caution. Brought to you by Disney's Little Mermaid at PLT from going on now till August 9th. The Journey Under the Sea, it's a theatrical take Classic Disney movie. Tickets available at the box office. PensacolaLittleTheater.com. If you see an accident, 437-1620. Text it in. It's Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. Again, budget meeting this morning, actual commission meeting tonight. Tonight's probably the big agenda item, at least it's going to get a lot of attention, is the data center. It's not a ban, as I read it. What it is it's a reaffirmation of the fact that they are already banned. Am I reading it right?
You are reading it correctly, yes. They're already not allowed.
I love
it's
this.
It's a dog and pony show, you know. It is what it is. Resolution.
We'll see if the critics are going to be satisfied by that, but it is basically a statement that, hey, y'all, you've spent a lot of time up here persuading us to do what we already do. So here we go. I'm curious to see how this plays, but yeah, no, I which is correct. It's already banned. It's like I've kind of been joking, is it's like, you know, let's have a resolution to ban penguins and elephants and icebergs in Escambia County. Okay, you already can't have them. The OLF 8, the future land use opt-out, and the sector plan, the big one, the sector plan opt-out, and there's another flu case as well. That's all just being scheduled tonight. Those actual decisions are going to be made in August?
Yeah, that's correct. Tonight is scheduling the public hearings for August the 6th. And so those items will be taken, actually, for action, will be taken up August the 6th.
Got it. I do have a question about the OLF 8 one. I don't understand, and the question has been raised, and I don't know what the answer is to it. Why does the future land use change need to be applied to, or zoning, if I get one of these questions wrong, please correct me. Why does that need to apply to the portion of the parcel that the county is going to retain? It seems like that would only need to apply to the portion of the parcel that the county is actually going to sell.
Yeah, and I believe you're going to hear some of that discussion.
Okay.
I think. I've heard quite a bit of chatter about that. You know, I'm not going to be raising my hand to make the decision, but I don't think our portion needs to change.
Okay.
So you'll hear some discussion about that August 6th.
Okay. And I know sometimes it's like any legislation or decision that gets made, you know, the first round may not have everything that's going to wind up in the end version. And, you know, that's why you have a process so that the end one gets to be the better one. So I appreciate that. This is not on the agenda today, but I want to make sure that we talk about it for at least a second. The fishing pier reconstruction is like way farther along than I expected it to be.
They are making fantastic progress on the fishing pier. I mean, they are really blowing and going. And I would say they're probably a couple months ahead of schedule.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me. I mean, they've already got lots of pilings in. They're putting pilings in right now. They've got some of the cross-section pieces. Do we have an expected completion date? If they come early, do they get a bonus? What's the status?
They don't get a bonus. There's not a bonus built into the contract. But I would say expect completion probably early 2027.
Oh, okay. Say. So people can be fishing on it next spring. All right, fantastic. That's great.
Actually, we're out to bid for the Bob Sykes fishing pier right now as well.
Oh, okay. Since they're doing such a great job, who's the company doing the work on the fishing pier?
I think it's a company called Soul Construction, I believe. They're doing quite a bit of the work.
Okay.
They may have some subcontractors with them, but I think they're leading the charge.
Okay. Well, I mean, anyway, I was amazed when I was coming back from Blue Angel. I thought, holy cow, that's way ahead. So, and you're putting out for bid on the Bob Sykes one as well. That's great to hear. There's an agenda item. I don't know if you would refer to it this way, but I'll call it the Mel Luna rule. You know, sometimes incidents produce rules. This would be to reaffirm the prohibition on employees being on boards, right?
That is correct. Yep.
And the general idea is these are supposed to be volunteer boards of citizens, and anybody who's in the employ of the county just shouldn't be there. That creates the appearance of a conflict of interest or influence, and therefore you want to get rid of that and make sure that you just don't have that problem, right?
That is correct.
The disability transportation stuff, where are we at? I know this has been in the news quite a bit, and, you know, this has been a long, hard road to get there, but what is happening? How are you planning to address some of the, you know, the complaints that have been coming up?
So we've been taking them, you know, this is going to be an iteration, if you will. We've been working with ITL to give them all the information that we have that they need.
That's the original company, right? That's the company that we had for a while.
The original company, yeah. Okay. And so, and in addition, I think they're taking applications to sign folks up. You know, it's kind of confusing, and I get it. You know, they may pick somebody up because they're in the right zone or the right area. But when they drop them off, they may not be in the right zone or right area for ITL to pick them back up. So then we pick them up. And it can absolutely be confusing for the riders. But we've been trying to work through it. We've been trying to communicate as best we can to everybody who's on our roster, on our list. We had one lady that missed a ride, and she wasn't on our roster. And I'm not sure she was on ITL's roster either, for that matter.
Okay.
But, you know, we've been trying to take those as they come and communicate, letters, emails, phone calls, trying to communicate to those folks. And it'll take we knew going into it when we had this one picks you up over here, we had to pick you up over here. We knew that was going to be confusing for the riders. And I hate it. That's the way the rules are.
Yeah.
But we're working through it as we can.
And the only other thing on this agenda that caught my attention, just because I think if I understand it right, you have you're rewriting some of the rules related to animals in parks specifically to accommodate service animals, which technically under the law are not currently accommodated in Escambia County. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Absolutely.
And that's obviously I wouldn't call it exactly a glitch fix, but it's making sure that the law aligns with what the priorities are, which you're not supposed to take your animals into the parks. That's why we have dog parks, for example. But you are allowed to take them if they're service animals. Is that the basic takeaway?
Yeah, that's basic takeaway. You know, when you're updating policies, somebody said, well, the administrative code and the boards and committees policy, it takes a little bit of time to do, even though they seem like simple fixes.
Right.
We thought we'd do it in 30 days. It's taking 60, and a staff member out for 2 weeks, and legal's got to do their review, and we've only had one meeting a month.
Yeah.
And so, it takes a little bit of time, but, you move as fast as you can, but we've been reviewing our policies. I got a fellow on board named Jim Moore who does a fantastic job. And it's really detailed. It's really into the weeds. And we got policies that date back to the 70s that's still on the books. They're not applicable, but if somebody want to make an issue out of it, I guess they could.
Right. Slow government is frustrating, but slow government is by design because, slow government makes mistakes not as quickly, too. And so, that's sort of our American system. Wes Moreno, as always, thank you so much for the time. He's the Escambia County Administrator. Again, the budget meeting is this morning, and the regular meeting is tonight at 5:30. Public forum starts at 4:30. Wes, as always, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
All right, Andrew. Thank you, buddy.
Absolutely. Candy has traffic on the fives.
And we're not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. It looks like everything's running smoothly. 437-1620 if you see that accident or slowdown.
All right. If you have any kind of work inside your home on the air conditioning, the heating, the electrical, the plumbing, a generator, maintained, installed, whatever the case may be, Peden can take care of that. All along the Gulf Coast, everywhere from Mobile to Baldwin County in the last couple of years and all the way over to Tallahassee and everywhere in between, since 1969, they've been helping you with good quality work, good people, good products, 100% satisfaction guaranteed on all the work for those systems. And this right now, you can get 2 years of smart care for free with any new air conditioning system purchased from Peden. That includes scheduled maintenance, priority service, so you go to the front of the line, 15% off repairs, all included. Call or book your appointment online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Some things can steal your sunshine. Ugh, I just got my hair done.
Sorry, the cooler's broken.
Anyone see my flip-flops?
Anyone?
But COVID-19 can steal a lot more.
I just took a COVID test. Ugh.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
Why are they shooting aliens like it's Space Invaders? Oh, a little Cyndi Lauper for you closing out the hour. 6:59 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Next hour, we're going to talk to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer, PPD. Find out more about the wrapping up of that investigation for the July 5th shooting. Stick around.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3.